Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We have been blessed to be studying from Tell It Well, which is birthed. I like to say that because it just it can picture a baby.
But it just got to understand the seed is God's word.
Yeah, that's right. And last couple weeks, we've been in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
First, Tara storied it. Then we talked about the Holy Spirit. Last week, we really kind of dug into the questions that I receive a lot of. You know, when people speak prophecy, what does that mean? How is that real for the church? Can people still dream dreams and visions? And yes, they can. So praise God.
Yeah. The key is that it will affirm God's word and it will affirm God's character. If it hurts either of those, it is not of God and it is not of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will only affirm those. And that's the test.
And that's the part that was necessary.
Yeah, it's so important. You know,
I don't think I have enough places to write everything that you're teaching me.
You can get another notepad right there. She's so funny. She cracks me up. She's over here taking notes. It cracks me up. We're supposed to be dialoguing and she's taking notes. You know, this particular series, and I don't know, I just feel led. You know, you need to go back. If you did not hear November 6th, last week's lesson, you need to go and listen to it. You can go to the podcast on the website. Because I could tell God was really at work in the dialogue.
I agree.
Yeah. And I want us to remember that here we are. We're looking at Acts 2, and we're looking at that, you know, a walk of authenticity will declare the wonders of God. And that's what it always boils down to. It's not about a person. Peter never once draws the attention to himself. Never once. And I studied this, and I actually every single day, because for the last year, I have been studying Acts. I mean, that's literally how long I've been studying. I have been studying Acts for over a year. I'm going over it and over it and over it. Now, that's not my daily morning stuff. That's just my extra stuff. And I am studying it and studying it. And I am constantly under conviction of how easy it is to draw attention to myself or to something other than God in his character or his word. It is so easy to fall into that entrapment of sin.
Can I just give a quick little testimony of that? I do worship leading at my church, and they had given me a free mic where I can walk around, and it was great. I was like, oh, I have freedom. I can go and I can do the whole stage. And then God so gently disciplined me and said, in a loving way, and humbled me and said, this is not about you. This is not about what you're wearing or about your hair or about people coming up to you and saying, oh, I like, you know, you're distracting.
Yeah.
This is worship and it's for me.
Right.
This is getting, you know, and it was all in love and it was so sweet. And so last week that I said, you know, I mean, they put me back on the mic on the stand and I just couldn't stop crying. I was like, thank you for humbling me. Aww. And in this way that you love me so much that you're telling me, I love you. And I know this is what you've been called to do, but don't be a distraction.
It's so easy to be a distraction.
Well, and you know, being a teacher, when people come up to you and say, oh, you're such a great teacher. And oh, and all this stuff. And you're thankful for the encouragement, but you have to know that it's not about us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just had to share that.
I've had several people get on to me through the years. I have a good friend that she's like, why do you always say, you always negate it when I tell you how much it meant to me. And it's like, because I don't ever want to take the glory of God. I don't want to be eaten up by worms. And that we'll read about Stephen. Acts 12 about the Herod, when he takes the glory and he gets eaten up.
I don't want to be eaten up by worms.
I don't want to go there. I always
wanted to share that little testimony.
That's a really great testimony for us. And because that is a conviction I fall under every day. And what ends up, we have to make sure that what we are doing when we do and teach for the glory of God, whatever it is we do and whatever we teach, that it be for his glory, his honor, his praise. And it will magnify him. It will magnify his character. It will magnify his word. And any time I take from that, I'm out of the will of God. And I mean, it's a good thing for us to ask ourselves on a daily basis, who am I seeking to glorify? Really, honestly and truly, with what I'm doing, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for God? Now, the crazy thing happens is that you almost come to a point where you're frozen, mm-hmm. or at least that's what happened to me. I was like stopped in my tracks because, quite honestly, I don't know that I can ever get out of my sinful self. Sometimes I feel like it's just like, could I ever have a pure motive? And if, you know... And
I'm glad that you said that. Thank you, Jesus.
And what we want to do is that Peter, when he began to preach this, I want to go back and I want to remind you, he focused in on that God keeps his promises. He proclaimed that God fulfills his prophecy. And now today, what I want us to look at is that he proclaims Christ's works prove that he is Lord and that he is Christ. When my focus and your focus is on proving that Christ is Lord, God will receive the glory in his character and in his word, because Jesus is the word and he reveals the character of God. So when that becomes our focus, what he ends up proclaiming to them is what will enable us to honor that which proves who God is. And, he reminds them, because the people have come and they're listening, as they saw this huge event happening at Pentecost where the Spirit's falling down, and how quickly it would have been an opportunity for the people to worship the disciples. I mean, honestly, think about
it. Oh, completely.
Because they're ordinary, unschooled men able to speak in an instant a foreign language they do not know, and most likely based on the sheer number of people, I would imagine each of them were speaking multiple different languages, not just one. Okay, because if it was just the 12, then we know they had to speak, and if it was the 120, they still had to, because there were more people than they could possibly communicate to. They had to speak in many different languages to reach the many different people groups. And it would have been so easy for them to worship the disciples. And Peter says, you know what has happened is because God fulfills his promises. And he says, you know, because we have seen the prophecy proclaimed through the prophet Joel. Today, what I want us to look at, and this is so awesome, we're going to find that when God's at work and his movement happens, it affects the whole person. And he says to the people, he says, Peter said, when David foretold and he spoke Christ's words to us and it revealed what would happen with Christ, it shows us, you know, what happened. And I'm going to read, I want us to read to that section. Sabrina, if you would go to verse 25, Acts 2, 25. And I want you to read verses 25 through 31 for us. And then I'm going to show you how God's presence penetrates the whole person. Because we began with 3 weeks ago how the Holy Spirit comes and he diffuses upon us. He's now proclaiming how God's presence, it penetrates the whole person. The whole person's going to be impacted. Okay? Go ahead and read it, and I'll show it.
I would love to read it. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. Wow.
I'm going to just read in verse 32. God had raised this Jesus to life, and we were all witnesses to the fact. Okay? In this section, he is proclaiming the words of who Christ is and what happened to Christ. and what happened. And I want you to see, one is that he says that the Lord is always with him. Okay, the Lord is always with Christ, always. And Christ, we are told in this passage, he sits Christ at his right hand. So as the Holy Spirit comes, Christ now is at the right hand of the Father. And then it says that my heart, and this is where I'm going to go through, and I want you to see that it covers the whole person. I want you to think about this, because as a believer in Christ, we have each of these as a promise to us, as our completion of being filled by the Holy Spirit. We have these promises in us, in Christ. Jesus, he says, my heart is glad. We're promised, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Mm-hmm. Okay. He says, my mouth will praise. Okay, our mouth is unleashed to give the praises of God. We are redeemed to praise him. Our purpose is to make God's name glorified, to lift him up and magnify him. He says, my flesh or body will see hope. Hope, to know hope. And without hope, I mean, it's death. You know, you always see that when there's no hope, that it just, the body no just is weary. Right. It's so weary. And it says, my soul will not be abandoned. When we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can rest in the promise that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Our soul will not be abandoned. Mm. Okay? His soul was not abandoned by God the Father. Our souls will not be abandoned because Jesus came and died in our behalf. And as I was pondering this, and I can't even remember if I shared this on the radio before or not, but I'm going to share it again because I think it's worthy of being repeated many times. Thinking through the resurrection, and let me know, Sabrina, if I shared this last month. I think I did, but I'm not certain. Christ's death, I did. When he died and went into the grave, it was on the Sabbath. Levitical law states that on the Sabbath, no man shall work. Christ, when he went down to that Hades, to the pit, and to conquer sin, it was his presence that caused the slaying of all sin, because he is I Am. He didn't have to do anything. He will not abandon our souls. Mm. I mean, his physical presence, it's complete. It is a completion. It's done, finished. Okay? And I think we forget that. I don't know why we do, but we do. Then it tells us in Scripture, it says that his body would not, of the Holy One, would not see decay. Now, the parallel here is what we have to think about is, what does Scripture say the body is in the New Testament?
The temple of God.
And who is the temple of God?
We are.
Yeah. Okay. Our body, physically, yes, but the body of Christ will never die. And if you look through the history of the chosen children of God, no matter how many people through history have tried to destroy and annihilate God's people.
And they've tried.
God has always brought the body through.
Mm.
He has always brought the body of Christ through. And he will continue to do so until the end of the age. And we can go back to Peter's words, because God fulfills his promises.
Mm.
He does not make a promise and leaves it unknown. He fulfills his promise. And the men and that were listening to his proclamation, what he was speaking, they knew everything he said was true because they had heard the teaching, but they had also witnessed what Jesus had done. And even though they may not have accepted, they were rejecting it, they still knew what he said was true. And what we're going to find is, as he begins his process of telling through Acts, he's going to become more in your face. You know it's true. I mean, you can just almost hear that little finger pointing at them as he does it. The next thing, it's an implication. I imply this, but I want you to think about it. He says, you will have made known to me the paths of life. The only way something could be made known is if your mind is engaged. Okay? So in order for it to be engaged, I want you to think, it's the mind. He engages the mind to know his path. And as I am praying through different aspects in my ministry right now of what the next step is that needs to happen, one of my prayer requests I keep making before God is just, please set the path straight. Don't let me veer from the path you have. And at this point, I want you to see we have the heart, the mouth, the flesh, the soul, the body, and the mind. And then he ends it up with, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Who gives the filling?
The Holy Spirit.
The Spirit. And there's the Spirit. Do you see how it's a complete person he's just described? Heart, mouth, flesh, soul, body, mind, spirit. And the Spirit fills me with the fullness of your presence. And I know you guys can't see it, but Sabrina, if you look, you can see my cute little diagram I drew on my page showing how God completes the person. When the presence of God happens and the infusion of the Holy Spirit comes upon us as we believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he completes the whole person. And he has made this proclamation, and the men are standing there and they cry out, what do we do? What do we do? I mean, he's made it clear. Joel has said it. David said it. We saw what Christ did. He proclaims to them, and they are so overwhelmed by the truth of what he has spoken. They know it is truth that he has proclaimed. They ask, what do we do? And that's when he gives them, repent and be baptized. Receive the Holy Spirit. And they immediately, 3,000 that day did. Now, what we have to understand is true repentance is to accept and do the will of God. Now, I want to explain this as clearly as I can so that you can understand, because many people will accept some things as the will of God. Okay, I'm going to give one. I'm going to be really blunt and use a really hard word to use. But, okay, many people will accept that to have sex outside of marriage is a sin. But are they willing to do the will of God and not go down that path? Okay. In order for it to be true repentance, and whatever it is, that if we recognize sin as sin the way God sees sin and hate sin the way God hates sin, we won't just accept it, but we will do according to God's will. It is not repentance if it's not acted upon. It is not repentance. So that we know when a heart truly has repented, when they act upon it. They meaning that they're acting upon God's will, not the sin, okay? And acceptance to do, and acceptance of the will and to do God's will, okay? We're so glad you've been listening to Acts 2. It's been an amazing time. And what we see at the end of them following through with the teaching that Peter did is that God added to their church. Not Peter, God. God's the one that gave the increase. And they were devoted then to the study of God's word and fellowship and prayer. God bless.